this morning will be Matthew chapter 25, verses 14 to 19. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country, who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them, and made another 5 talents. And likewise he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug it in the ground, and hid his lord's money. After a long time, the lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them.
One of the best-known radio talk show hosts in modern times is Rush Limbaugh. Whether people like him or hate him, and it seems like folks are on one side of the fence or the other, he is successful at what he does. If you've ever caught one of his programs, you probably heard him say that his talent is on loan from God. It might be argued that such a statement is arrogant and egotistical. At the same time, it can be contended that such a statement contains some truth. As human beings, we do not own what is in our possession. All that we use, even our bodies, are on loan from God. They belong to him. If Limbaugh is talented, and that seems to be the consensus of most people, and he wishes to say that his abilities are on loan from God, his statement is not false. Though God owns all that exists, many labor under the delusion that they possess certain objects. In this country, it's common for people to believe that if they pay for something, it belongs to them. Since we are born with a body, it is often reasoned that our body belongs to us. But the Bible, as we study the scriptures, we find that it presents a very different picture. Each person on this planet is a caretaker or a steward. Instead of being an owner of what is in our possession, we are more like borrowers. God allows us to temporarily use what he has created. And we find as we look at life that different people are allowed to temporarily use different things. There are some people who are given the opportunity to care for nations and kingdoms. Others become stewards of children. In this country, most are, to one degree or another, stewards of material wealth. In the poorest country, where people may have no material wealth, they are, at a minimum, stewards of their body and their eternal spirit. Each person, as we look at those in life, is in charge of one or more items. And this is done in part to test us. Jesus described this in the passage that was just read. The Lord spoke of someone who went into another country, a far country. The person who is doing the giving in Matthew 25 and the person who goes into a far country and later returns represents God. The servants who were entrusted with certain things describe people like us. The men who were given the goods were also given an extended period of time. The first man, from what was said, verse 16, took what he had, the 5 talents, and put them to use. There was a second man, verse 17, who was given a little bit less, but he also took what he had and acted in a similar way. But we find the third fellow, he decided to pursue a different course. He took the abilities, the talents, the gift that he'd been given, and buried it. Well, the story says that the master finally returned, and the first man, when a reckoning was due, came back to the master and said, "Look, here is what you gave me, and I have made some extra." And the Lord's response to this man is found in verse 21. Hopefully you've kept your Bible open to this chapter, and now let's look at the 21st verse. His Lord said unto him, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, I will set thee over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord." The second man, who had been given 2 talents, came along and offered a similar report. "You gave me 2, I've made 2 more. Verse 23 says, the master was again pleased. The third fellow said that he was afraid to use what he had been given. He did not make anything, but he also said, "Look, I have not lost anything either. You gave me this much, and I'm giving you this much back. Let's call it even." He tried to return it to the master, but the master was not willing to accept it from him. We find the master's response in verses 28 through 30. "Take ye away, therefore, the talent from him, and give it unto him that hath the 10 talents. For unto every one that hath shall be given, and he shall have abundance. But from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away. And cast out the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness, there shall be the weeping and the gnashing of teeth." When we examine this account, we can draw at least 4 conclusions. First of all, it is a general principle that each person has been entrusted with one or more items from God. Point number 2, it is possible to be faithful stewards of what we've been given. We find that in the accounts of the first 2 men. Number 3, we find that it is possible to let what is in our trust be unused, or to be idle, as in this particular case. Fourth, we find that it is possible to abuse what God has loaned to us. For the remainder of this lesson, we want to look at each of these options. And our beginning point involves the man who took his talent and buried it. There is no indication whatsoever in this account that this fellow was morally evil. We're not told that he took his talent and spent it on wild parties. He didn't decide, well, I've been given some money, so I'm going to take a vacation I've never been able to afford, or go out and buy a new boat or something else for personal enjoyment. No. The Bible says when it came time for the evaluation, he took his talent that he had buried and tried to bring it back. So he could not be faulted for losing any part of his talent. Yet, as you look at the account, notice, if you will, that the word wicked is applied to him. This term seems to be explained by another word in the text. Let's look at verse 26. But his Lord answered, "This is the third man," and said unto him, "Thou wicked and slothful servant, thou knewest that I reap where I sowed not, and gatherest where I did not scatter." The servant was slothful. That is, he had the opportunity to use what he'd been entrusted with, but he didn't do that. The servant is identified as deserving condemnation for two different reasons. First, he was a steward who failed to use what he had. Second, when he was called to account for why he did not do what he should have done, he began to make excuses. So faulted for two different reasons. We can only wonder how many in today's world are just like this man. How many people are there in life, perhaps even in this assembly, who have been entrusted with certain things from God, but they're not using them? How many others believe that they have control over certain things in the sense that items belong to them? But that's not, as this account shows, true. They've simply been made a steward. Most in this assembly remember a man Jesus called a fool, or to be a little more precise, foolish, in Luke 12. This man looked at what he had, and he saw that in his life he had been abundantly blessed. He saw so much that his barns couldn't contain it all. So he reasoned in his own mind, "I'll take down my barns. I'll pull them down, and I'll build bigger barns, perhaps better barns, fancier barns, barns with all the amenities." Well, the Bible says that night he died. He never got to be involved in the building project. And because he died, what he had been made a steward over, that vast amount of possessions went to someone else. Our stewardship may not be as extensive as what this man had, but at a minimum, we are a steward of our body and a steward of our eternal spirit. We therefore can ask, and rightly ask, this question: what are we doing with what we have been entrusted with by God? In 1 Corinthians 4:2, Paul said, "Here, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful." And that's what God requires of us. The scripture reading that was done from Matthew 25 shows what faithfulness is not. We cannot be faithful with what we have been entrusted with by letting our talents, our abilities, whatever they are, stay unused. Certainly misusing what God has given to us is another abuse of stewardship. We can misappropriate time, money, and energy. We find that God, as we look at Matthew 25, expects each person to be faithful with what he or she has been given. And this applies to our bodies, our time, our health, our wealth, and everything else in our care. It's often the case that people, sometimes even in the church, have a very limited view of stewardship. We find sometimes that folks think, well, unless I'm Bill Gates, I don't need to be worried about faithful stewardship. He needs to be worried because he's got all those billions and trillions of dollars. But look at me. I don't have nearly that much. I'm just small potatoes, and God doesn't care. Yes, he does. And this point comes through very, very clearly in Matthew chapter 5. Notice again, if you will, a great point from this chapter. There was one man who was given 5 talents, another was given 2, and the third man was given 1. Have you ever given consideration to the fact that the man with 5 talents was held to the same standard as the man who had 1 talent? In other words, the 1-talent man was not let off the hook. The standard for him was not reduced because he had substantially less. It was not based upon what they had, but it was based upon what they did with what they had. The word steward comes from 2 Old English words. There is the word sty, S-T-I, which meant ward. This term was used to describe an enclosure for keeping livestock. The second part of steward, ward, W-A-R-D, described a person who watched an owner's animals. So a steward, initially, as that word was used, it described someone who cared for, tended to, watched over the animals that belonged to someone else. Well, as time passes, words frequently change, and such is the case with the word steward. Steward finally came to describe someone who managed or someone who cared for the property of another person. And this is a suitable word for Christians to study, for the world to be told about, because man is allowed to manage the earth that God has created. We all have some share in what God has put upon this planet. It may be more than the next guy. It may be a lot less. That doesn't matter, as Matthew 25 shows. We all get a piece of the pie, and whatever our piece is, whether it's large or small, God says, Christian and non-Christian, you need to be faithful to what I have let you borrow. Take it. Use your share. Be productive. Don't bury it. Don't misuse it. But you discharge your duties in a responsible way. Ultimately, when we think about being faithful with what God has given us, that involves glorifying God, honoring Him, and serving Him. When we look at the Bible and we find people God was pleased with, we always find a common thread. That is, in each account that I can find where God was pleased with a particular person, an individual saw in his or her life that he or she was a steward and he or she was faithful. And I'll give you some examples. In 1 Corinthians 4, verse 17, we find a reference to Timothy. And Paul says in 1 Corinthians 4, 17, this young man, who was also an evangelist, was faithful. Now, there were some areas where this man lacked. The Bible, in different passages, tells us that this man lacked in the area of health. His health was not as good as some other people in the first century. In spite of some health problems, the Bible still says that he was faithful and God was pleased with him. There's another man in the New Testament, a man named Tychicus. And this fella was an average guy. He didn't have a great reputation like Paul. He was not well known like Peter. He wasn't famous like James and John. But he didn't need a big reputation to be someone who was faithfully using what he had been given. And this is still true for us. We may be someone who is not known by a lot of people, just perhaps as we look at ourselves, relatively insignificant. And yet we can be faithful with what God has blessed us with. Onesimus and Silas, Colossians 4 verse 9, and also 1 Peter 5:12. Are two men who are referred to as being faithful. These were average Christians who faithfully used what God had entrusted them with. And we can do the same today. 2,000 years later, we're still being reminded of these men and how they faithfully used what had been entrusted to them. A lot of people want to be remembered. Walk through any cemetery and you'll see that the property is lined with grave markers and inscriptions, birth dates, death dates. Other little details are given about people, but all those details are ultimately irrelevant. The only thing that ultimately counts in life is were we someone who faithfully used what God gave to us? Did we learn His will, obey His will, and faithfully use everything in a service all the days of our life? If our grave marker says that, or if that was true of our life, then truly we lived in the right way. Moses, a great man, Hebrews 3, verses 5 through 6, is described as being faithful, and that's one of the reasons why he was great. He and all others that I described realized the truth that Paul stated in 1 Timothy 6, verse 7. Here Paul said that when we come into the world, we do not bring anything with us. That is, we all come into the world the same way, and this is right. You can walk through any maternity ward and find that when a child is born into the world, he or she comes with absolutely nothing. I mean, we all come in the same way. And in 1 Timothy 6, 7, Paul says that we not only come into the world with nothing, he says we leave with nothing. And that, too, is exactly right. Every talent, every object, everything that we are able to enjoy in life, when we die, it is left behind. The only item which follows us after death is the record that we write in this life. And that record is stamped faithful or unfaithful, depending upon how we live. Well, someone, when they're not faithful with what God has blessed them with, oftentimes people will resort to excuse making. I commented on Matthew 25, verse 24 a little while ago, but let's take another look at that. Here is the man who received one talent. He was not faithful. The time came for the reckoning, and here's what he said. And he also that received the one talent came and said, Lord, I know you. You're a hard man. You reap where you didn't sow, and you gather where you did not scatter. This man came up with what might be called a good excuse. I'm not sure that any excuse is good, but if there is such a thing as a good excuse for being a faithless steward, it seems that this man came up with the best one that existed. You're a hard man. And it was a matter that was very difficult, so rather than take the risks, I hid the talent, and look, here it is. It's just what you gave me. Was his excuse acceptable? Well, the Bible says it was not only rejected, but the man was an unfaithful servant. He was profitless and was deserving of condemnation. Cast him out and take away what he has. This past week, I came across a story that perhaps some of you have seen, but maybe you didn't see it applied in this way. The story is told of a young widow who had a 5-year-old son who was blind. She was poor. She wanted her son to have an operation, but she couldn't pay for it. But through the graciousness of the doctor, he agreed to an initial consultation. So the child was taken to him, and the surgeon said, yes, I can restore the sight to your son. And the woman said, I can't pay. She said, I'm barely able to make ends meet. And the physician said, well, the first priority is to restore the sight. And the widow said, well, if that's what you think, if that's what you believe, let's proceed. So the operation turned into several operations, and after they were all completed, the boy was healed, his sight was restored. And the boy was so grateful, again, mom was poor, he gave the doctor his only possession. It was a teddy bear. Not a very attractive bear, certainly from a standpoint, a material standpoint, it was without value. The arm was gone, the eye was gone, and just ragged in practically every way. The doctor knew how much it meant to the boy, but he reluctantly accepted it. There was no material value to the boy, no monetary worth, but the boy gave a priceless gift, the most precious gift he could possibly give. As we think about that in the spiritual realm, we find that Jesus died for us. He gave us a priceless gift, the gift of life, the gift of sight. And now we ask this question, what can we give in return? The boy knew he couldn't give very much. Something that in material realms was practically worthless, that he gave him what he had. What can we give back to Christ? As you look at Matthew 25, one of the answers is we can be faithful to God with what we have. Not much we can give to God, but certainly we can be obedient. And our obedience to God includes being faithful in every way, faithful stewards. God says to us, we will either be faithful or we will not. There is no middle ground with him. We start being a good steward of what we possess by becoming a Christian. We develop faith in Christ. That's being a good steward of our mind. That's being good stewards of our analytical abilities. We repent. That is, we turn our lives over to God. We decide to leave the way of life that we've been living and to live for God. That's a good steward of our time. That's a good steward of the physical abilities that God has given us. We confess Christ. And then the final step, the Bible says, we're baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2, verse 38. That's being a good steward of our body and time as well. And then we continue to faithfully use God, faithfully serve God, and use what we have in his service every day of our life. When we think about who a Christian is, the answer from Matthew 25 is someone who will faithfully use whatever he or she has to the best of his or her ability each day that he or she lives. Have you been faithfully using what God has blessed you with or not? A simple question, but one of the most important questions you will ever answer on this side of eternity and on the day of judgment. If you've not become a child of God, then there are some abilities that God has blessed you with that are not being used in the right way. This morning we can baptize you into Christ to help you begin that life of faithful stewardship. If you have become a Christian, how are you using the assets and resources in your life? Faithfully? Are you like the first two men in Matthew 25, where when the Lord returns, he will say, well done. I endowed you with certain abilities in life, and you used them in such a way where I am pleased with you. Enter into the joy of thy Lord. Or will it be you wasted them? You buried them for one reason or another. They were not used correctly. Depart from me. Serious questions, eternal consequences. If you're not on the right side of the fence, this morning you can write your relationship with God. You can be baptized into Christ as a Christian. If you have been unfaithful with the things that God has given you, we can help restore you. If there's a way that we can assist you and you'd like to make that known to the body of people who are here, we invite you to come to the front as we stand and sing.